What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Multiverse Monologues. And this week, we are tackling a movie that is... It's been a while since there's been a release in this genre of film. And to see it back on the big screen was huge when it was first released. This week, we're talking about Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Yes, sir!
Right? Ethan? Are we?
Oh! Well, I'm looking at the itinerary for today's episode, and something's a little strange.
Ben, what do you have to...
Where's Ben?
Where's Ben?
Ben's
He's
gone.
Been banished to the other dimensions. We got Doctor Strange 78 Whoa! April Fools. We are covering the first movie in our vintage Marvel...
Vintage collection of Marvel films.
Surprise, guys. We did our entire watch through of the Marvel movie marathon, where we covered everything from Howard the Duck all the way to Spider-Man Far From Home. Yeah. But we missed a couple on the way. The keen-eyed among you may have realized we skipped quite a few in between Howard the Duck and Blade, but also there were a lot of films that came out before then. Today we are covering the 1978 film Doctor Strange. It was not the first movie that came out that was Marvel related. That would be the Captain America serial that came out in 1944. But this is the earliest one that I own on DVD, so we're going to tackle that one today.
Yeah, we're excited to do this, and this is something you're going to see increasingly more of these vintage Marvel collection, as we're going to dub it. Just anytime that Ben can't get together with us, me and Mike are going to hop on the mics and talk about a good or just
a hidden gem, perhaps
classic movie.
You never know. For us, we have no idea about these movies going in. It's a blind bag completely. I mean, all we have to go off of are the internet scores, but we've seen the internet lie time and time again.
Internet,
I mean, just look at the first class scores.
The internet is garbage, okay?
Destroyed those scores, man. So we've got a good list of about 25-ish movies, all the way up to the 2005 movie Man-Thing that we skipped over for some reason. I guess it was just overlooked.
TV movie, Michael.
Yeah, a lot of our TV movies, so the first one was the Captain America serial. Well, that's the first time we see a comic book character brought to life on the big screen. We see the first Spider-Man movie come out in 1977, and this is the first Doctor Strange movie. We get introduced to a lot of things that we won't see until later.
And maybe shouldn't see ever again.
Yeah. Was it biting off more than it can chew? Or was it just strange enough to catch our eye?
Oh.
Our eye of Agamotto.
He's trying to grab his eye.
My eye. Oh, it does have battery. I thought it didn't have battery for today. Guys, let's get our sling rings. Let's open our portals and dive right into Doctor Strange, 1978.
This modern hospital may seem worlds apart from the days of ancient sorcerers, but for psychiatrist Stephen Strange and his beautiful patient, this is where those worlds collide, and the nightmare begins.
All right, so a lot of you, I'm guessing none of you, have watched this 1978 Doctor Strange TV movie. So I'm just going to read our synopsis and we'll see how far it takes us. So our good friend Gemini, formerly Bard, typed in, can you write me a summary of the plot for Doctor Strange? So let's check this out. Doctor Strange, Dr. Stephen Strange, a psychiatrist, notice he's not a surgeon, is unaware of his hidden potential for magic. Meanwhile, an evil sorceress named Morgan Le Fay is freed from another dimension and seeks to conquer Earth. Thomas Lindmer, the current Sorcerer Supreme, not a woman, mind you, before the Doctor Strange movie, it was a he for a very long time, recognizes Strange's potential and prepares to pass his magical abilities onto him. Le Fay, aware of this, tries to stop the transfer by possessing a young woman named Clea Lake and uses her to attack Lindmer. You may have recognized that name from the post-credit scene in Multiverse of Madness.
Clea, I don't care.
You know, tomato, tomato, who cares? Strange ends up treating Clea, who is haunted by nightmares from the possession. Lindmer, injured but alive, reaches out to Strange and reveals the world of magic. Strange must quickly learn the mystic arts under Linmer's guidance to confront Li Fei and become the new Sorcerer Supreme. So it's a similar overall story for the origin of Doctor Strange. Ethan, what do you think?
What do I think of this movie?
We are hot off this movie.
That synopsis was very helpful.
It was
for me because we did just watch this movie. We probably finished it within the past 30-ish minutes. So we're fresh off Doctor Strange 1978. And what did I think? I think there's a reason that no one talks about this. And I think that there's a reason that I never watch this. And that is because it is a hidden gem, Micah.
Ooh.
No, I'm kidding.
It is not on any of our... It's not on the Hollywood Reporter ranking. It's not on the Screen Crush ranking. I believe it was on a comicbook.com ranking. I don't have that listed here. But if you aggregate all of the scores together, it's 68th place, which is still not the lowest place on our ranking, which we'll get to that at the end. But for me, I thought it wasn't as bad as some of the other. I mean,
it's
towards the bottom,
if
right?
If we're talking bad Marvel, we've seen worse things than this. But something I give credit to this movie is the runtime. It's short.
It is a TV movie, yeah.
And as you said, halfway through, you're like, Ethan, this is a cohesive story. And
that is a compliment based on what other movies we've seen. So Fanforstic is our is that our lowest rated movie that we have
on our marathon podcast?
Oh no, we have Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, Fanforstic. We're not going to dive super into scores here, but would you say it is better than these just right off the bat?
That's hard, but as far as cringe inducing, I say this movie's less cringe inducing
sure.
than both of those. Less cringe-inducing than Elektra. And do we have Dark Phoenix at fourth from
Dark
the bottom?
Dark Phoenix at fourth from the bottom, followed by Howard the Duck, our previously oldest Marvel movie that we've reviewed on the podcast. For me, I would say that Doctor Strange 1978, noted, it's not spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R.
Just D-R.
It's D-R, period. You know, they're keeping it short and sweet.
They're keeping it proper.
Yeah, it's got to fit on the TV guide.
Because as more noted, he spends more time in this movie literally being a doctor.
Yes.
Than he does being a sorcerer of any kind. And this movie is strange.
I'll say that
because as far as Doctor Strange's origins go, when the character debuted, can you look up when the character debuted,
sure.
Micah, in the comics? Because when he debuted, his origin is almost note for note. It's very similar to the 2017 movie we get with Benedict Cumberbatch. But in 1963, when Dr. Stephen Strange premiered in the comic books, his origin was pretty similar to what we see in the MCU. So the fact that this didn't take that formula that actually really worked and did something different, I thought was really
You know what
really
the formula
weird.
That did work at the time was? Were the medical dramas at the time. Those were huge. You got all those soap operas.
When was Emergency in its peak?
Emergency?
Yeah, just look up Emergency.
The show?
Oh, yeah, the show. I got Emergency vibes from this.
Emergency with an exclamation point?
Yeah.
1972. So this had been already 8 years out, you know, or 6 years out, sorry.
So that went on for seven seasons, though, so clear into this.
Oh, you know what? It ended in 79, so I think once Doctor Strange came out, Emergency was like, we can't compete.
We have
this.
An emergency, guys.
We can't
we
keep...
Cannot.
I mean, Doctor Strange took the format and ran with it. But I gotta say, this movie, you can see the through line to what they were going to do with Doctor Strange and the MCU. You can see what's the guy's name?
The Ancient One.
The Ancient One. Thomas Linmer.
Call him Old Man throughout
old
the movie.
Old Man. Yeah, so Old Man, he says a lot of things that are very similar to our Sorceress Supreme that we see in the Doctor Strange movie. And there is a character arc, which...
All right, so Micah...
It's a compliment,
just,
I guess.
Pretend you have not seen the 2017
yes,
film. And
yes,
you're watching
that was the benefit
this.
Of watching through every single Marvel movie going in chronologically released order, was we didn't have the freshness of seeing Doctor Strange, you know, a couple months ago.
Right.
So Doctor Strange, as we see him here, he doesn't have the goatee. He's a psychiatrist. The movie...
Big ladies man.
Yeah, he's a ladies man. He shows up. His first shot is him coming out of an elevator, and he's got this lipstick stain on the side of his mouth, and he's like, yeah, I just hooked up with a lady last night. You know, things are pretty great.
He's a suave dude.
Ready to go on my shift, you know, my 18-hour shift at the psych ward. And then he just sleeps on the couch all his shift. So that's pretty great. We got a pretty great intro to this guy.
And you see, he's got a good heart underneath. He's suave. There's a woman who's there. And
a good heart, or is he thinking with something else?
Well, we see there's an older woman there who isn't conventionally attractive. But he's like,
that's
hey,
true.
You're struggling. I want to help you out. Mm-hmm. Stay here. And the other doctors are upset by that. So right off the bat, this guy, well, he's a ladies' man. He's more of a Tony Stark kind of guy. He doesn't really get that arrogance that I think the 2017 film captures. Because even later, there's a scene where he's with the old man, with Thomas Lindmer, the Ancient One.
Is that his name in the comics, too?
I have no idea.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, good thing to look up. But he's talking about how he's so arrogant.
That's his name.
He's like, you're so arrogant, Doctor Strange. You need to fix that. And the end of this movie, Doctor Strange is given kind of this similar choice that he's given in the MCU film is, do you live for yourself or do you live for the greater good of mankind?
There were a couple good one-liners that.
No, I'm not saying that's good.
I liked them. For a TV movie, I'm sure they ripped it straight out of the comics, but...
It mirrored the movie, but it works way better in the movie, and they don't really do anything with it in this movie. But yeah, it's a TV movie, so we had commercial breaks baked into it, and
With the appropriate sound fading.
Yes.
It was awesome.
There's a lot of good transitions and good musical cues.
It was a lot less of a theatrical movie than the TV Ewok films that we saw just a couple weeks back. I feel like they hid the commercial breaks a lot better in those two Ewok movies. I didn't even notice
this
them when we were watching.
This is a good question, though. What would you say, because those are our three most recent TV movies we watched on this podcast. How would you compare those to this?
Well, I think that the other one, the Ewok movies had a lot bigger of a budget behind them, for sure.
Totally.
I can probably pull up the budget, but... these movies weren't... Oh, I don't think I have the budget for that. Whatever. Who cares? The Ewok movies, they had Lucasfilm behind them. They had the special effects. They had, you know, everything that a Star Wars movie had at its grasp, except, you know, being good. So, Doctor Strange was its own thing. It needed to survive not only as a comic book thing, because there weren't... If I look at my list here, there weren't that many comic book movies out. There were the comic book shows, sure, but there wasn't anything huge that came out before it. This is our sixth Marvel related, at least. I don't know about DC. Was the Batman show out at this point?
Yeah,
Batman show was in full
swing. That was swinging in the 60s.
Yeah. So this was trying to be its own thing. It knew it couldn't compete with Batman.
What's the living legacy of this? Because I really only know about it because we did our in-depth marathon, and it's something that has resurfaced, but because it was a TV movie, it aired probably, you know, randomly, and I know you were saying during it that maybe some nerds would freak out at some of the references, because it doesn't hold your hand in this movie. It gets a little goofy and wonky and crazy. They don't explain a lot.
Yeah, if I didn't know things going in from the Doctor Strange movie in 2016, I don't think I would have been able to follow along with the astral planes and the weirdness that goes on when Doctor Strange is first introduced to everything.
Yeah, this world that you get a lot of homages that make you think of the coolness of Doctor Strange, but I don't know if they ever tap into that. And the cast is something in this movie. We get all our characters. We get the sidekick.
I didn't know anyone going in. I didn't know that anyone would be confirmed for this movie. We were cheering when Wong showed up for the first time. And this guy who plays Wong, Clyde Kusatsu, he is probably the only one, one of the only ones in this movie who are still relevant today. He was just in the, so he was additional voices credited in Avatar: The Last Airbender show and Legend of Korra. And he makes an appearance in one episode of the new Avatar: The Last Airbender show on Netflix.
Good for him.
And he's in Blue Eye Samurai. He's in Days of Our Lives. Not that that's a good show, but he
Hitmonkey. He voiced.
He's in Curious George, the TV show.
And he's the brochure.
If that's a litmus test to see if you are a relevant actor, I think this is a pretty good, pretty good catalog.
There is another famous actress in this.
Yeah, and you knew who she was. Yeah. I didn't know who she was.
Jessica Walter, she plays the mother in Arrested Development. If you've seen Arrested Development, you know what's her name in that? It's
Lucille Bluth.
Yeah, Lucille.
She's also in, I'm pretty sure, most of Archer. She plays Mallory Archer. I'm not a big fan of Archer, but if you know her, if you're familiar with the show, I'm sure that that name is familiar to you.
It was cool to see her pop up in this because she's actually really great in Arrested Development. If you haven't seen any of that, right?
None of it. Yeah, none of it.
It's worth watching, the first three seasons at least.
Is that like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or is it a different sort of show?
It's a lot. I think it's a lot more inventive and funny, and it's highly unique. They have it was before its time because it got canceled, and then Netflix picked it up for a fourth and a fifth season, which it wasn't very good. But it was canceled before its time, and it had three really great seasons. And Ron Howard has a big hand in it, who will appear later in our Star Wars marathon, but he narrates, which adds a ton. And that's also Jason Bateman. If you know Jason Bateman, he's in that. And Will Arnett is in it.
Oh, a big group of...
Oh, yeah.
Big cast of
huge cast. There. You have Tobias Fünke, who is... Oh, what's the actor's name? David Cross, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, so,
you know David Cross.
David Cross. I've heard that name.
He's been around. Look him up.
David Cross?
He's in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, he's
the villain. He's
Earl,
a comedian.
And, you know, the... David Cross, that guy.
Yep. Go throw him up.
Oh,
there.
That guy.
Come on.
He's in all sorts of stuff. Megamind. He's in Kung Fu Panda. He's in all sorts of stuff.
He's big. He's big.
Men in Black. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, another person who makes. So we were talking about Clea before, right? She is.
Charlize Theron
in the new
post-credit
movie.
Scene for Multiverse of Madness.
She is played by Anne Marie Martin in this, who ends up writing one movie of importance, Twister, in 1996.
That's cool.
Which, is, if you've been following the podcast for any amount of time, you'll know that for some of our lesser-ranked movies, such as Ghost Rider, such as, or I guess, that certain genre, we've got Blade, we've got your uncle's movies, right? Twister is my uncle's favorite movie. So I just thought that was interesting
and
to point out.
It's
that
also super relevant because it's getting a sequel this year.
It is.
With Twisters. With
it
an
is.
S.
So if you're looking to go through Anne Marie Martin's back catalog, there you go. You can watch Doctor Strange and know
but,
she was in it.
No one cares about who was in this movie, Micah. They care about what was in this movie. And if this is a hidden gem, or if this is someone that a Marvel nerd or Marvel fan should consider turning on and watching, and how did you? We have your disc right here in front of us. How did you obtain this?
Went on to eBay. I looked up. So I already knew that this movie existed. I was my goal was to have every single Marvel movie physically for our podcast, just for fun, you know, just to have a little goal in mind. And it's not like these older ones are that expensive. I got this on eBay for like $6. So I picked that up, not thinking I would ever watch it. I mean, sure, maybe one day I would watch it, but here it is on my shelf. It's not a bad looking disc. It makes you think that it's gonna be this super whimsical journey. You know, maybe he'll don the cape for more than 30 seconds, but unfortunately, he doesn't get his Doctor Strange cloak until the very end of the movie. And then it's faked out again, and it's swapped out for yet another costume, which, according to the trivia, is a combination between Doctor Strange's garbs and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel.
Back in the day.
Yeah, so that's something, and we don't get a Stan Lee cameo, but
no.
We do get a quick glimpse of a Hulk comic
Yes.
In the movie.
But speaking of Stan Lee, he said in a 1985 interview, this was much before the MCU and much before even the likes of Howard the Duck, that this movie, so looking at the roster prior to Howard the Duck, Doctor Strange, 1978, is, in Stan Lee's words, the movie that he had the most involvement in.
Huh. Did he like it?
He didn't say that he liked it. He didn't say that he liked it, but he had some involvement.
I had the biggest creative hand in that one. Oh, Mr. Lee, did you like it? Did you think they did your characters justice? Oh, I had the most involvement in that.
Oh, here we go. He said that next to The Incredible Hulk, this was the live-action adaptation of a Marvel character with which he was most pleased with at the time.
Mm.
He was disappointed by the movie's low ratings, which he attributed to being aired against Roots. Do you know what Roots is?
Roots has to be a show of some kind.
It is a show that has an 8.4 out of 10. That's crazy.
What is the synopsis for Roots?
A dramatization of author Alex Haley's family line from ancestor Kunta Kinte's enslavement to his descendants' liberation.
Oh, it stood no chance.
Oh, man.
You can't beat the wokeness.
It's a limited series. This is probably one of those HBO dramas.
That's like a prestige limited series right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So it went up against that. No one watched it. But that's interesting. So you said, other than the Hulk's portrayal, which is actually really good,
yeah,
which I'm hoping in this vintage Marvel
collection, I'd like to tackle those because that's also the first live-action appearance of
Matt Murdock, and Kingpin.
Yeah. And the legends that we get in your favorite show, Echo.
Echo, oh yeah. Echo came out earlier this year.
Or was it She-Hulk that you liked the most Matt Murdock?
Yeah, She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, gotcha.
Right, there's no other show with Matt Murdock in it, right? We got Echo, we got She-Hulk. Yeah, that's the full list, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, Doctor Strange, as a character, I feel, as Stan Lee says, I think it does an all right job.
I think
portraying.
Go back to the list of what has come out before this.
Before this,
because
there was
saying this is the best. Okay, but let's look at what has happened. Because
so there were some TV shows that came out before this, but there was the Captain America serial. There was, jumping all the way to 1977, the Spider-Man TV movie pilot. So he's saying that this was better than the Spider-Man portrayal here. Not a surprise.
Not the animated one,
Not the animated one. No. This is the live-action Spider-Man. The 1977 The Incredible Hulk TV movie pilot.
Which he likes better than this, yes. So fair on that because that's pretty good.
The 1977... Oh, excuse me. The Return of The Incredible Hulk, which is, I think, just like episode 2. That was also a TV movie. And then the 1978 Spider-Man Strikes Back TV movie. So we got some tough competition here.
I love this quote because it just shows how low the bar was.
It was.
Doctor Strange is the second best character that's been
I think he was just happy
action.
To see any of his characters on screen.
He had no idea how big it would get, and it wasn't, I mean.
Well, hold on. Before Howard the Duck, there was also two infamously bad Captain America movies.
Oh, yeah.
There was Captain America and Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. There was The Bride of the Incredible
Hulk.
Have you
seen any images from that Captain America movie?
No, but those are, I believe, two movies I own.
Okay.
Either those ones or the two Captain America movies in the 90s.
Yeah, listeners, let us know what vintage Marvel thing you want next up on the docket, because we got the good amount. And this was fun to watch, especially with you.
It wasn't painful to watch.
I wouldn't watch this alone.
No.
I think it would be very hard to do
that. Why, you'd be too scared? Because the beginning of this film,
I'd be terrified.
I thought that we were getting into some sort of Satanist movie going into it. Ethan, were you getting those vibes too?
Yeah, I mean, it started off with a candle melting, and it was very satanic.
Very eerie soundtrack by Paul, what's his name? Paul Shehara.
Ooh.
I had never heard of this guy. He's got a doctorate from Cornell, apparently. And the soundtrack is iconic here. There's nothing like it.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. It starts off with the Enchantress in kind of a hellish realm, some kind of different realm, talking to a Dormammu-esque character.
Who was supposed to be Dormammu,
but wasn't. It's a big puppet that's faded and
Had some Godzilla vibes.
Yeah, it sets you up for going, okay, what is going to happen? And throughout the movie we see different magic represented.
We
do,
and
we
wanted to make sure that we mark those down so that you, the viewer, can know exactly what magic you are missing out on. So in our Doctor Strange 2016, you get the iconic portals, right? Which is definitely going to be in this movie, right? I mean, it's Doctor Strange. It's going to have the portals, mm-hmm. right?
Sling rings.
Right. And you've got...
Eye of Agamotto.
Right. You've got time but elements, right?
The Cloak of Levitation.
Cloak of Levitation.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You need that stuff.
So...
We get all that in this
list
movie,
list off
right?
what we got in this okay. movie.
We get Force Healing. Okay.
Force Healing?
Yeah.
So we are in the sequel trilogy. Is that what you're saying?
We are.
So
we get magic.
I may have teased that at the beginning where Force Awakens, but we've actually jumped ahead to the Rise of Skywalker, is what you're saying.
We get locking doors mechanism magic.
That's right. He puts up a barrier.
The ancient one goes, you know, and the doors
zap. It's a simple spell, but it's quite unbreakable.
Quite unbreakable. Cat magic, I wrote down. You can the enchantress can impersonate or control cats, and she tries to get a cat.
Turned into that cat.
She turned into the cat that tried breaking into the one that gets shocked first.
Yeah. So first it was established possession. That she can possess the Clea and then controls Clea for a little bit. And then jump forward to the end of the movie, we see she can control a cat. And she goes up to the door and it's raining out and Dr. Strange is like, oh, you poor cat. Let me put you inside. And through Dr. Strange's aura, she is able to pass through the barrier to get into the Sanctum Sanctorum and infiltrate.
She got in.
What else we got?
We have neural links between Dr. Strange and Clea.
This is the sequel trilogy.
Which is never explained, right?
No, it's
the
not.
Neural link? Okay. The characters get married in
the
comics.
It's the Force,
so
all right? It's how cool. The Force works.
That's not how the Force works.
Hey, we haven't seen that movie yet.
The Enchantress tries doing some mind manipulation to make a kid fall off a bike, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe Doctor Strange gets hit by a bus. It's unclear.
We think that there was a lot of stuff. So episode 4, A New Hope, had just come out the year prior. And there is definitely some... These are not the droids you're looking
there,
for.
Yes, there is some mind control. Did I write that
there
down?
There were no Toydarians to be seen.
Yeah, I did.
No one was resistant to the mind control. I would have really liked to see the... So she uses the mind control on... Or no, not she doesn't,
the
but
guy.
The Sorcerer Supreme uses the mind control.
But it's literally... He holds out his hand and he goes, like he kind of waves, just like Alec Guinness would. You know, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah.
But he goes... Let me in or something.
Yeah, let me see the lady Clea in the hospital because it's not visiting hours. And she just like he just gets through the security. So he uses the mind control on that dude. And then I was really hoping that when he used the mind control on the second more evil, not really evil, but you know, the meaner nurse who wanted Clea to take medicine that she didn't want to take. I was hoping she would be like, What are you doing? And then he's like, oh, I guess it doesn't work on everybody. I think that would have been a little bit of comedy in there.
Sure.
But you know what I did watch that nurse reminded me of is there's this movie called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen that?
I have not.
No, but it is a Jack Nicholson movie with Louise Fletcher and her character. See, it even kind of looks like her.
She does.
It came out just a couple years before this. She plays Nurse Ratched. And Nurse Ratched is the one that makes everyone take their pills in the psych ward. I wonder if there was a lot of influence from that, a lot of influence from Star Wars. It's kind of an amalgamation of those two films.
Micah, do you have a favorite scene in this
favorite
movie?
Favorite scene?
Favorite scene in this
I
movie.
I got to say my favorite is when they're using force lightning on each other. So we got... we've got what's her name?
Enchantress
Morgan Le Fay.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you have no pop.
That's a fun fact up there. Morgan Le Fay was the first Marvel foe to be adapted into live action. She was later joined by Kingpin and Red Skull.
Which is notable because the original Captain America, I hear, has no villain in it. other than like Hitler.
Other than Hitler. Hey, what? That's yeah. a villainous villain of them all.
So Morgan Le Fay is up against our big man, Thomas Lindmer. And he's in this like starfish outfit up on the attic of the sanctum. And he's like this. He raises his arms up and he's blocking the force lightning with his body. And then there's force lightning going between his two arms like electrodes and then zapping her again too. So this is beyond what Attack of the Clones even thought.
Oh,
you know, George Lucas saw this and was like, oh, that force lightning, that looks pretty cool. We'll throw that in Return of the Jedi.
He does. He absorbs it just like Yoda does too. So, yeah, I think George Lucas, you know,
we got the master absorbing the lightning. And then eventually the force lightning from, what's her name? Morgan Le Fay prevails. Thomas Lindner takes the fall. Or does he? At the end, it's revealed that he took the fall.
Spoilers.
So that, yeah, spoilers. Spoiler alert, guys. Unfortunately, he took the fall so that Strange can succumb to the transporting into the Shadow Realm or whatever it is.
There is some funky, you know, shots of him falling into the astral plane.
Yes.
Where he's like, it gets really,
Yeah, did you guys think that they'd have the mirror dimension in this? Because I didn't think so.
No.
when Doctor Strange is first. Yeah, put a clip in here.
It's a big journey. And the Ancient One, or Thomas Lindmer, the old guy, the mentor, per se, is telling him, Doctor Strange has just gotten to the Sanctorum.
Is this going to be your favorite scene?
And no, this is not my favorite scene.
Wow,
but he's like,
there's one better.
He's like, hey, you need to do this. Your dad knew me. You're special. You're the chosen one. Dr. Stephen
Al-Ghaib.
This ring is important. But then he's
you're going to be the next Duke.
He's like, no, I don't want to do this. And then he says, you will do this. And then he falls into the... He gives him a few more instructions, and he falls into the astral plane, the astral dimension. And I was thinking, okay, the rest of the movie is going to be spent here. Or a good amount of the movie is going to be spent here. He finds Clea, grabs her, says a line that he was told to say to the monster.
Before he goes in, he's like... All right, you have to say exactly these words to ward off the demons.
And then he says it, and they're back out.
Just like that. They're done.
Like that, yeah. My favorite scene is, we kind of alluded to it earlier, but there's a scene where the Enchantress is looking at Stephen Strange walk down the road. And then she looks over. She sees a guy, a kid on a bike. Then she glances. She sees a bus coming around the corner. And somehow a plan is hatched to do something with these three objects. And do you even know what she tries to do?
Yeah, it's actually high art, Ethan.
It's high art.
This is an auteur's movie.
Okay.
You have to kind of see past the what's being presented at you and look into their minds.
You have to see past the editing.
Yeah,
And the shots.
You can see the kid wobbling on the bike.
Yes,
I saw that. You can see the bus showing up.
So what's her
plan?
And
it's obviously Morgan Le Fay was using her telekinetic powers to push this poor kid into the bus.
And was she hoping Stephen Strange would jump in front of the bus?
I believe
save so. Save him and then die in the
Maybe
process?
She just wanted to kill the kid?
That's... anyway,
you know,
none of that happens. Stephen Strange saves the boy. And then there's an epic music cue.
There is.
And
a smug look.
Stephen walks past the bus, walks around it, comes into frame. The music's playing. And he is the smuggest looking dude.
He's like, and he's got his big old mustache that goes way past his lips. He's like, oh yeah.
It made watching the movie worth it.
Now that's important that you said that scene, because that is one of three alleged times that Morgan Le Fay failed to kill Dr. Stephen Strange, because that was her whole goal, apparently.
Yeah, her goal was to kill him, Dr. Strange,
but
and then.
She is in love. She needs, has this personal motive to, you know, a B plot, if you will, to find love.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, going over her, going towards her motive of love, she forgets that she is controlled by this Dormammu creature and that her youth is being maintained by his magic. Apparently. It wasn't revealed until like three-quarters of the way through the movie.
If you've ever seen Tangled, it's very much like that. The woman needs Rapunzel's hair to keep her young age and her beauty. And when that's gone, she becomes old and frail. And everyone knows being old and frail is the worst thing that could happen to a human.
Especially in the 70s. I mean, yeah. when the age span was like 20 years, you really got to work with what you got. And if you lose your beauty, that's everything.
It is everything. And this movie has a lot of beauty. But, Micah, there's no box office numbers for this.
I have no numbers for this at all.
And no critic score numbers for this?
I do have critic scores. We have a couple scores here. We have nothing in Rotten Tomatoes. Hold on. We do have an audience score. All right, I'm seeing it now. Our audience score is 54% from Rotten Tomatoes. Our IMDb score is a 5.1. And our Letterboxd score is a shocking 2.4.
So
everything's about middle of the road.
Dead on the middle.
Dead on the middle.
Because I do think if you go through all the trouble to find this, locate this, and sit down and watch it, you're gonna probably give it a round middle score.
Yeah.
Just because of only people who really want to see this.
I wouldn't say this is a piece of trash. I didn't feel pained to watch this. No. There were two individual scenes that were basically identical. There's the where they're walking down the street. It's just Strange and Clea.
It is strange. Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you want to come back to my place and I'll help you with your homework? And she's like, yeah, see you at 7. That's exact scene happens twice. But
it does.
Little minute differences between them.
It's very weird and
very strange.
It is. But no one cares what the internet.
Do you have
thinks,
a favorite character,
Micah?
We didn't hit characters. I would say
Wong.
Doctor Strange is my favorite. I think that he. It surprised me how much, because we've seen some movies where we're like, this is not the character that they're supposed to portray at all. This doesn't resemble them. This seems like a completely different movie. Like, why did you pop this character into this movie for no reason? One that comes to mind is, we didn't watch it for the marathon, but we watched Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. And that was very clearly a movie that was not a Mad Max movie from the start. And then they just slapped on the Mad Max. At this point in Marvel's history, they didn't have the name like Marvel to go off of. There wasn't like a, you know, when you see Marvel nowadays, you're like, okay, yeah, you got your characters and everyone's familiar with
Madame Web, you know.
You may have been familiar with Spider-Man at the time, maybe Hulk, and that was it.
Comic-wise, yeah.
And that's it. So you didn't have anything.
I'd say you would know those characters' names more than you would know the label attached to them.
So I got to give Doctor Strange some props for being its own thing, and it was very bold to go with Doctor Strange out of all these characters. He was only 10 years old at this point, comic book wise.
I do wonder how this came about and what the someone just really, really would have. Someone just loved
it's
Doctor
the same
Strange.
Thing as Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck was only introduced a couple years before, and then they birthed that through an egg into existence. But Ethan,
Doctor Strange is your favorite character?
Yeah, I'll say Doctor Strange. What about you?
I'll go the Enchantress. Just because that actress goes on to be in Arrested Development.
So not because of what she does in this movie, but...
No. She's probably, I think, the second most interesting... No, she's probably the single most interesting character in this movie with her magic abilities. And I'd say a lot of the movie focuses more on what she's doing than what Strange is doing. Because you see her in both realms. You see her... The movie opens with her... And then she uses powers most in this movie too, so I'll go with her. I don't love her, but she's in this movie and she did things
in this movie. Yeah. Well, short and sweet. I think we're about ready for our scores, Ethan. What do you think?
I think we are more than ready.
Do you want to be reminded of your scores that you picked for your Marvel movie marathon?
Like what are we talking about?
Now, this isn't going to go on to our official Marvel movie
marathon.
Not the official
one, but it's good reference.
Yeah,
and
it's reference, and we'd like to just hold things to a similar standard in our Marvel.
It's good to look at, and because we know what we can compare it to. We talked about what the heap trash of this marathon consists of, and that's Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, that's Dark Phoenix, that's Elektra.
Howard the Duck for you, but not really for me.
That's Fantastic Four. So, So as far as spectacle, I think those movies beat it, but it's what we're talking about, the enjoyment of watching it. Mm. And this is a tight hour and a half. I think there, like I said, watching it wasn't terrible. I'd say when we watched Fantastic Four Stick together, that was really not fun to watch at all. And this, I at least, there were things that me and you both were like, oh, like just shocked at and
the whole comic out of nowhere, you know, yeah. Wong showing up, yeah, ooh, thunder, you know, lightning, whatever.
And I do appreciate the swing, them going for this, even though it was way before its time, them trying to do this. But we're doing scores, right?
Yeah, we're doing scores.
I think this is not good. It's actually worse than 50%. I'd go... Yeah, let me look at my scores.
Okay,
go back to my Marvel movie marathon ranking scores. What did I give Elektra? Over.
You gave Elektra a 4, solid okay. 4.
So I think,
as well as Rise of the Silver Surfer,
as far as cringiness goes, Elektra's under this. What do I have next above Elektra? I have a good
Warzone
amount of fours.
And Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Okay, Warzone.
Yeah.
I lock this in at a 4. I like it sitting with...
It's going with your fours?
I like it sitting there. Yeah.
Okay. For me, I'm a bit more positive on this. Not like, not in the sevens
like
territory.
This is amazing,
not in the sixes territory at all. But you can see that they were working with very little, right? Like they had to appeal to the audience at the time. It would have been very difficult to make a Doctor Strange. I mean, you even see how difficult it was for the 2016 movie. And even that didn't go over so well with all the fans. A lot of people liked it. A lot of people didn't. So Doctor Strange 78, very bold. It reaches in certain areas that we won't see for a very long time about the mystic arts and about... I like that line that he was saying, you know, it's the science, it's the art, it's the magic, it's the, you know, chemistry or whatever of it all. So there are some lines in here that make it worth a watch to me. Hmm. If you're a Doctor Strange fan, I would definitely recommend this. As a good movie.
Is this a laundry movie, Micah?
Is this a laundry movie?
Or is it just below the
it's
grade
like
of
a
laundry movie?
It's like you're tired after a hard day's work and you just want to hang out with a movie that doesn't take too much of your time, doesn't take too much of your brain. It explains things to you in
a nap time film.
Nap time film.
If you need to fall asleep, if you want to turn on something to fall asleep, is this a movie you could do that with?
I would say you can, but I wouldn't waste it on a nap time movie. I would feel it's more of a laundry movie.
Yeah.
Because you kind of want to watch it. You don't want to just cut out the last half of it because you took a nap. Maybe. Or else you would have missed Doctor Strange flying in his very clearly wire harness throughout the astral realm.
And you would have missed him getting his signature look for
maybe a minute.
And maybe it's his signature look. It's just very faint and just kind of alluded to.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to look at my scores here real quick. I'm thinking around the 5 range.
Around the 5 range.
But is it as good as the genius that is Ang Lee's Hulk? See, I feel it's on that level for me. Where
Ang Lee's Hulk
had a lot of character. It had a lot of character for me. And you can't quite grasp that
but
nowadays.
You have to look at Blade Trinity is sitting over there too.
Yeah, but I wasn't a big fan of
Blade Trinity. But Blade Trinity is significantly better than this.
Maybe for you. I feel like...
Oh, no.
You know what? I'll agree with you.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it's a 5.1.
Okay.
I can live with a 5.1.
So just to clear this up, this is better than the MCU's Incredible Hulk.
This is better than the... Did I rank the MCU's Incredible Hulk worst? I did. Sure. Yeah. I'll go with that. Edward Norton was... he was something else.
I just watched the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot. Rewatched it again and I was like, oh shoot, Edward Norton is the villain in this. And I didn't even notice till I looked at the IMDb credits.
Yeah, so I would say this is better than the Ewok. Wait. This is better than Caravan of Courage. I wouldn't say it's better than Battle of Endor. And sure, yeah, it's not as good as the Clone Wars movie just because
it's not
It's
to line it up with our Star Wars score.
Yeah, just to wrap things up and round it all together. But
because next week, hopefully, yeah. What does that accumulate to? Your 5.1 and my 4, is that a
that averages out to a 4.5?
4.5 out of 10.
I'm happy with that score. Okay. I mean, it's nothing crazy. Even the internet agreed. It's a 5.1. I agree with the internet at that 5.1 score, right on the dot. And I mean, if you're looking for obscure,
it doesn't give you that same level of exhaustion you get after watching some of these movies. And specifically, I think when me and you watched the Spider-Man fan film, Spider-Man Lotus.
Yeah, or Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Or Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
That one was rough.
Yeah, this you don't get exhausted in that same way. And there are a little few things to laugh at and have a good time with. So
it's like going back into a time capsule and saying, wow, they really were able to put that on TV back then. this was passable.
There is a scene where they walk around a corner and we're still confused on it. There's a nurse helping out a baby.
Mm.
And
I forgot about that.
The baby isn't real. The baby's a doll.
It's like you could see the seams in its arms because it's plastic.
But we don't know if that was meant to be a baby.
And I don't think we'll ever know.
Because when this was made, the TVs were about the size of, you know, Micah's head.
They were about
head.
This big, maybe about smaller. This was like the premium size TV. The
size of Micah's laptop. No, we watched this on what is this,
55-inch TV.
55-inch, so not the way that the creators intended. So let us know if any of the creative team is listening to this. Was that baby supposed to be real?
Yeah. And I believe you can watch this on YouTube. I think someone just posted
the
it.
Full movie.
So if you don't want to spend any money on this and you just want to, you know, chill out for an hour and a half, you give it a thumbs up for that moment?
for right now?
Yeah.
Like
if you were to just recommend, hey, you've already seen all the other Marvel movies, you know, you're in our position.
If you
it's exactly
seen,
what we did.
If you have, but this is for content, Micah. Not for just pure enjoyment.
I would have watched this eventually, I feel.
Eventually, yeah.
I mean, I already owned it.
It'll definitely help out our Letterboxd stats.
My aunt, so the same aunt that likes the Star Wars movies and stuff, she's a big Doctor Strange fan. I think I would recommend it to her.
Okay, all right. No, thumbs up, sure. We just want to stamp on this the thumbs
up. The multiversal
approval. And I'm sure if Ben watched this, he would slap a big thumb up on this.
Oh, yeah,
too.
He would be like, 9 out of 10, better than the Punisher.
The Force abilities are really cool. And
wow, this is
the lore.
The world building is just
the lore is
incredible.
Amazing.
But yeah.
Because everyone knows when it's just me and you on the panel, that means we are talking about something peak, something good. You know?
That's right.
Shazam, Fury of the Gods, The Marvels, Moon Knight, you know, all things that Ben really, really loved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ethan, do you have anything else to say about Doctor Strange 1978? Any closing remarks?
Yeah, The Force Awakens is next week. Make sure to stay tuned for that. Subscribe and
let us know if you want more of this vintage Marvel. Which of this list strikes your fancy? There's a Punisher movie from 1989. That one's pretty big.
I think we'll hit that.
There's Generation X, this movie I never heard of.
Fantastic Four movie I really want to hit on. Yeah, those will be fun to hit.
There's a Nick Fury movie with David Hasselhoff that came out in 98.
That'll be fun to go
through. Then there's Man-Thing. There's a couple big movies that I want to hit. Let us know which ones are your favorite if you've seen them before.
Or maybe
we won't go through these chronologically. We'll just do whichever one we feel like.
And then we're also on the looks for a new marathon. So we got a great suggestion from you, John Cross. Hopefully you're listening to this. But you said the Rocky movies. So
Rocky and Creed.
We've thrown that on our list. It's in contention for the next. But yeah, let us know if you got some movies you want us to review next. But as far as Doctor Strange 1978 goes, I think that's all I got to say.
That's all I got to say, too. And, you know what? This is the earliest movie my parents were also just born in 78. So this is the earliest movie that we'll ever watch to their birthday.
Oh,
so that's
the closest, you mean?
The closest.
To
the closest,
birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fun little tidbit, guys.
Just to close us off.
Yeah, that's great, Micah. It's closer than Spider-Man Strikes Back would be?
Yeah, they were it was June and August.
So your parents were really similar birthdays, two months apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
We'll have to send them the link.
I mean, I'm no mathematician.
Hope that
I don't have a PhD or anything.
Like Dr. Strange does.
But you know, let's hit up the psych ward. Let's get out of here. And thank you guys for listening.
If you did,
We're gonna take our medication.
Maybe you rage quit after the dupe for April Fools. You know, this isn't The Force Awakens.
We appreciate you guys listening. And if you guys were duped by the thumbnail, by everything, let us know in the comments. Yeah. I'd love to hear
and,
your reactions.
And leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Our numbers on YouTube are going up, and our podcast numbers are going up too. But I think mainly we want to lean towards podcast platforms. So if you could really help us out, tell a friend about us too. That's the best way people learn about podcasts. But yeah, I think we've exhausted this topic, Micah.
Yes.
So, guys, we'll see you in another multiverse. But for now, this is Ethan.
This is Micah.
We hope you have a great time traveling through the multiverse.